This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Colosso Soprano.
Go!
The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Squirt!
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
Well, it feels like we just did this a minute ago, Rick.
Yeah, well, now it's recording, and the other one only recorded for a second, and you and I came up with probably the greatest nuggets of our careers.
Incredible new Jays. The Denver Nuggets had nothing on those Nuggets. Mm. But once again, it is Golazo Supremo. We are back again.
Go.
I don't have the same enthusiasm here on take two, but it is Golazo Supremo. Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley bringing you all the news, all the commentary. As we like to say, not commentary, but commentary from all of the great stories and the great leagues across the globe. We'll give you Europa League resets, Champions League previews. We've got transfer news, MLS tidbits, story time,
I have to tell my Bruce Arena story, which was a cliffhanger last week.
Great.
And scandal in soccer. I don't take a look at some other scandals.
It's incredible. But first, we start with the Europa League final, Rick, and what an unbelievable performance by Les Bleus. Not the French Bleu Blanc et Rouge, but the Blues, the Chelsea Blues. Chelsea FC 4, Arsenal 1. Eden Hazard with quite a farewell to his club.
Yeah, he's out basically saying unless something changes, 99% sure he is gone. And it's hard to believe. I think he said that for the last 8 years or whatever. It's hard to believe it was that long. I'm not a fan of his as a guy, but as a player, he's obviously a fantastic player. One of the great players of this last World Cup for Belgium as well. And just the extra sting of Olivier Giroud, an Arsene Wenger Frenchman, picked to play for the Gooners, coming back to bite them in the backside in a major European Cup final.
And it happened as the first goal of the day, which really wasn't necessarily the backbreaker, but to see Giroud score. And one of my favorite soccer traditions that I was kind of hipped to this past year or so is the idea of not celebrating against one's former club. And you see Giroud with just a brilliant header, a classic Giroud goal. He knifes to the near post, gets just enough of it, enough purchase on it, puts it past a diving goalkeeper, and then immediately puts his arms out as if to say, I will not celebrate this goal because it comes against my former club.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring up Arsenal, too, because it was Emmanuel Adebayor when he scored against Arsenal for Tottenham. Oh, he celebrated. And that's a big no-no. That's a faux pas, as we like to say, a fox pass, and he did it anyway.
Yeah, it's a major fox pass, and you know, it's not a pass to get free sports on Fox Sports 1.
Uh-huh.
It's a faux pas, indeed. Two goals and an assist for Eden Hazard, and we were talking about this during take one. What happens now with Chelsea? You've got a situation where Gonzalo Higuain is leaving, Hazard is leaving, Giroud is older, you've got a team badly in need of upgrades, and yet Christian Pulisic, it feels like the American, is being thrust into a spotlight he's probably not ready for.
Christian Pulisic, whether he likes it or not, will be expected to replace Eden Hazard. And I don't think it'll be as bad as Eric Jemba replacing David Beckham, as Sir Alex Ferguson thought it would happen at Old Trafford. But yeah, he's not he's a kid, but he's not expected to, you know, have training wheels on. Maybe a little bit in the beginning, but he's expected to come in and be that replacement. Just a little thing on Emmanuel Adebayor, since you're a Marin guy.
Mm.
I'll never forget, there was a on the hoardings that said Power Horse by Adebayor. I thought, what does that mean? So I went on the web. It was an energy drink called Power Horse by Adebayor, and it said its distribution centers were London, Paris, Dubai, and Mill Valley.
What?
I know.
Oh, my God.
It made no sense.
No sense at all.
You don't even know what them people are getting up to when they get off their sailboat.
Right. Not a lot of industrial activity in Mill Valley, per se. So to see that a beverage is being churned out from there, it's quite extraordinary as well.
Same guys at the Deuce playing pool, smoking outside, too.
Love it. Love the Deuce. Shout out Amanda, my wife's high school friend, who is one of the co-owners.
Oh, great.
Of the Deuce.
At the course, my P's and Q's there, then.
The 2 a.m. club. I didn't know that you rolled at the Deuce.
Not as much as I used to, but I had some friends out there in MV and go to Sweetwater and do a little Deuce.
Shoot a little stick before you head up the mountain. Get out towards Stinson Beach and the Shortcut. Shout out Mill Valley Shortcuts. This is Golazo Supremo. It's not Rick Steves, Europe through the back door.
It's not Rick Dibbs either.
Right, Marin through the back door with Rick Dibley, Rick Tittle, Dan Tittle, Rick Dibley. As we look at the Premier League, and this is something I was discussing briefly with Ray Ratto, we're looking ahead toward next year. And we talked about Chelsea breaking apart. We already know that Manchester United is looking for 80 million quid for Romelu Lukaku. I don't know if they're going to get 80 million for him or not, but ultimately, Man U will look completely different next year as well. And then you look at Arsenal, a team that needs a reboot as well. Could next year be primed for some new blood in that top six?
It could be, but you always wonder in these off seasons with the bill that these teams have, and sometimes they'll take the money to buy a new stand. And when you think about the teams that were poised to maybe make a move, do you think that Wolves is going to make that move? Do you think that Bournemouth? Do you think that Everton? Everton's trying to get a new stadium built down by the Docklands, so all their focus is going to be on that for a while. You look at Tottenham, they were building a new stadium. They didn't buy a new player. They haven't bought a new player in 16 months because they're so concentrated on the new stadium. There's a lot that is going to change, and the difference is between me and Ray. I said that without frowning at you.
There was no frown. It was all love.
It was?
Very warm, Ray Ratto and I. Very warm friendship, without a doubt.
Okay.
Champions League, of course, coming up this weekend. The result will be known by the time we pod again next week. Liverpool and your Tottenham Hotspurs. What do you think? How do you size this up? Should be a pretty interesting matchup between the two English sides being played in Spain.
Well, I mean, listen, Liverpool lost one time this year. Tottenham lost 13 times this year in the league. You think about the pedigree. Tottenham's never been here. Kind of like a Toronto Raptors type of situation. Are they just happy to be here or not? Liverpool was just there last year. We saw Liverpool not that long ago win that game in Istanbul against AC Milan. They have the pedigree for this type of situation. But Tottenham should be relatively healthy. You should have a Harry Kane who's healthy. And so, obviously, Liverpool has to be favored in this game. They're the better team. But Tottenham has had a magical run. And I think about playing, it was actually the aforementioned Wolves that they beat to win the UEFA Cup. So they've, in a final, they've beaten another English club. That doesn't mean anything, but I'm going to try and lean on that for a good omen.
And it should be a good omen. And the fact that you will have Harry Kane back on your side and Dele Alli, presumably, and Yunmin Son. I don't know if you start him or if you keep him in his super sub role and
start him.
Bring him on in the 60th minute. He's done so well coming in off the bench. And, of course, your favorite, old number three, Danny Rose. Mm-hmm. Certainly a lot of intrigue in this match.
And don't forget Lucas Moura, who scored a second half hat trick. So there are options there, yeah. We'll see if it's going to be. I would imagine Moura will start on the bench.
And Liverpool probably going to have Roberto Firmino back. I know he's been an old Bobby.
He's getting a new neck tattoo as we speak.
It's probably a good little pregame. I wonder if he'll get the Champions League champion tattoo before the match. That's always ballsy when you see those American sports fans getting the, hey, look at this, Washington Redskins, Super Bowl champs. Your team stinks.
I had a friend who got a Marine Corps tattoo before boot camp, and then they saw it, and they beat the hell out of him every day.
Oh.
So just a little aside right there.
Yeah, before boot camp, it's usually not.
Become a Marine, then get the tattoo.
Yeah, that's probably the way you want to do it. It's Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle, Dan Dibley. We are breaking down all the soccer action from around the globe, Rick. Everything.
Yes, and there was a huge scandal this week in La Liga. We have found
shout out Kerry Washington scandal.
Yes, that's right. And Mrs. Asamoah. La Liga has had some players, most notably Raul Bravo and Borja Fernandez, former Real Madrid players. Fernandez, by the way, is playing in the India League. but that there was some matches bet on the opposition. And this is in the lower divisions as well. And they were even taking bets on how many corners. So you think about how many times you try to like maybe hit it off a guy's shin to get a corner. Just a lot of bad stuff going on. But I was thinking about other scandals to rock the beautiful game. And I'm going to throw a few at you here. I wrote a couple down, and I'd like to get your little knee-jerk reaction. Ronaldo, and this is Ronaldo, not Cristiano Ronaldo. This is Ronaldo from Brazil, found with three transvestite hookers, and they said, pay us a lot of money or we're going to tell everyone you got three transvestite hookers up here. And he said, go ahead and tell everybody, you ain't getting a penny.
Wow. Smart move. Ultimately, if you're out there doing that sort of thing, if you're, you know, trafficking in that sort of behavior, then there's no shame in your game. So why would you give even a penny? Exactly. Put your name on it. I believe Herm Edwards once famously said.
Yeah. On the text, too. Maybe we'll read it.
You got to put your name on it. Absolutely.
The Mexican national team twice. Remember, they were kicked out of the 1990 World Cup because they had overage players on their team. And then a couple of years ago, they had all this clenbuterol, and they said it was from bad chicken, which I actually think was a true story.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I buy that because the levels of clenbuterol needed to pop on that sort of a positive test, you probably won't get in an order of wings from your local restaurant or bar. So I'm going to go ahead and say that one smells nasty.
By the way, Nigeria also more than once lying about the age, even at the Olympic team.
Now, in the World Cup team, there's no age restriction, is there?
No, but if they got punished because of what they're doing, their FA, you were lying about the kids, guess what? Your men don't get to go.
Gotcha. And I know the Olympics, you're only allowed, I think, three players over the age of 25, or there's some age waiver.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's weird. Ryan Giggs had a Tiger Woods type of scandal. Yes. Three women at once, and that's not really worth bringing up. What ball player doesn't have three girls going at once?
Shout out Derek Jeter.
But one was his wife's sister.
Ouchie. That's a bad look. I mean, if you're Ryan Giggs, handsome, winger, ability to score goals, playing for the most popular team on the planet, you probably have a wider reach than just your wife and her family. So go ahead and try a little bit harder in your extramarital activity.
Here's the thing, too. If you play for Wales or Northern Ireland, you know you're not going to the World Cup. This Ryan Giggs played for England Schoolboys when he was Ryan Wilson. But he wanted his dad's real name, not his stepdad. His dad was from Wales, so he wanted to represent Wales. That's keeping it real. Another one, of course, is when, and this happened just a few years ago, the French FA said, look, we want the French national team to be 70% white.
Right.
And when they got caught on it, they go, what? There's nothing bad. We just said black and Arabic players. We just want them to be 3 out of 10. What's wrong with that?
It's an absolute outrage. And especially when you look at the team that they have, this year's World Cup winning team, when you've got Mbappe, who is a person of color, and you've got Frank Ribery didn't play, nor did
You think about Zidane was Algerian, and you think about all the Senegalese they had, from Patrick Vieira to Marcel Desailly. They've had Patrice Evra was their captain.
Is another guy they had.
Yeah, their captain was black. I mean, it's just a stupid thing to say.
Awful.
Yes.
But it speaks to a deeper divide within the country, because France has got massive problems with racism, particularly in the bigger cities. And it's from people who've migrated from Africa and taken residence in Paris and in France, and there's definitely a pretty dramatic divide there in that country racially.
There's no doubt. There's a lot of racism worldwide, especially in Europe, no doubt about it. And then two more I want to throw at you. Juventus, not only the Paolo Rossi situation back in 81, kicked out of soccer for 6 months and then wins the Golden Boot at Spain 82, but we know a few years ago they wanted to make sure they would get good refs that liked Juve, and they were immediately relegated after that, and of course they found their way back in.
Yeah, without a doubt. So much controversy, and it's amazing that these things continue to happen. And you think about match fixing, which was the first one. This is Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley. Like it when you see the podcast, and certainly share it with your friends. The match fixing one, it seems to be that would be the most prevalent of all of them, because it's largely fairly easy. If the goalkeeper's involved or a couple of defenders, all of a sudden now one play, one bring down in the box, one lapsed defensively. He can swing a game. I'm surprised we don't hear more about these sort of match fixes.
In the old days of VHS, I used to get my tapes from this place called SLS, Soccer Learning Systems, and I remember I bought a tape in the late 80s that was just goals that were on the take. It was amazing. It was amazing how many goals were on the take. Finally, you talk about carrying on in today. The biggest corruption of all time, and it's continuing on, is Qatar getting the World Cup, a country with one city, with temporary stadia, and they'll play it in the winter, and fake clouds that they'll fly over like drones, and yet we're still stuck with this scandal.
And it's unbelievable to me that this somehow hasn't been reversed. It's like a nightmare that you just don't wake up from. Because I remember when the vote came down, and it was down to the United States and Qatar, or Qatar, depending on how you want to roll. And I was remember thinking about it, thinking, who in their right mind, and this is no disrespect to the Qatarians or the great people of the Middle East. But
or any electric guitar either.
Yes, thank you. Or acoustic guitar and, you know, whatever
slide
other tunes
guitar.
whatever other tunes are being a Qatar hero.
There you go.
Certainly as well. But I digest, as we like to say. I couldn't imagine anybody, or anybody, looking at those two countries and thinking, yes, Qatar would be much more suited to host the biggest sporting event that the globe has to offer. Why, of course. Why would you use the country that already has 40 stadia that are ready to go and all the television support and all the corporate support? Let's instead go to the hottest place on earth, move the game, play it in these rickety fake stadiums. I can't help but think that this is going to be an absolute disaster.
In the middle of the season, and remember, the United States World Cup 94, the first ever World Cup to sell out. We are event hogs. We want to go. I remember people telling me, hey, Rick, you got tickets to the game? I go, you hate soccer. He's like, everyone's going.
Yeah, right. We love big events, without a doubt.
No doubt about it.
And I think when you look at where soccer is now as opposed to then, forget our national team and whether or not we're as good as we should be. And I think all of us thought, back in, what, 94, when the Cup was here? That's now 24 years ago, right?
Wow.
You would figure between then and now, all of us had these dreams of, well, if we haven't won a World Cup by then, we'll certainly be mainstays in the top four. We'll be among... How could we not? We're sporting arrogant.
And yet, Sunil Gulati just went into the Soccer Hall of Fame.
That's just outrageous.
The guy who's in charge of missing out on a World Cup. That's like Bud Selig putting himself in the Hall of Fame. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, and that would never happen. Oh, wait, that happened as well. Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle, and Dan Dibley. I do want to get into a little bit of Women's World Cup, Rick, because it's all going to start next week. As we sit here on a Thursday doing the podcast, 8 days from now, it gets underway. France and South Korea. For me, my interest in the event is heightened by the fact that these games are going to be held during my wheelhouse. Early morning.
Shout out John Lund.
Shout out 6 a.m. wheelhouse. Yeah, thank you. With Sean O'Connell and whoever else appeared.
Steiny
appeared in the wheelhouse. Michael Urban.
Yeah.
On and on and on.
Sure.
I think I like this event more because of the time of day in which it's happening.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. It's always much better when it's in Europe because we can watch it when they're actually happening. It's not like the Australian Open that we hear about the next day. And then when they played in Korea and Japan, there were some crazy hours. I mean, there were some 3 a.m. games that I had to watch. But I did speak with Caitlin Murray yesterday, who's one of the lead journalists that covers the women's team. She's just written a really cool book about the national team. And we were talking all about the Hope Solos and all some of the crazy characters. But I said, what was one thing when you're writing a book about the women's national team that you didn't know? And they said, she said that she didn't know this, even though she was at the game, is that when they were playing Canada, remember the last World Cup was in Canada, shout out Carly Lloyd, 16 minutes in, had a hat trick in the final. But that the Canadian coach, I think his name was Herman, every time Canada did something, he would walk over to the American bench and go, ha, 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 la, take that, yeah, 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 yeah.
Really?
And that all the players were like, what the hell is this? She goes, everyone said, oh, he was all over us, and they lost. So take that, Canada, Toronto.
That was an amazing rivalry when Canada was at its peak, when they had the girl from Stanford was on their team. And
Brett Laurie's girlfriend, who ended up playing for America, by the way. I can't remember her name.
Crossed over.
Yeah. Owen Hargreaves. Remember
wow.
him?
Yeah.
Hey, the best Canadian player. I want to play for England.
What are you going to do, you know? And that's, you know, that's one of those things that I don't really love about the international soccer world. You should pick your country and that's it. You shouldn't get one switchy. Well, I call one mulligan, one switcher.
You can't switch if you have played a full international. If you've just played friendlies, you can switch once. But if you've represented them, I mean, you think about Di Stefano, he represented Argentina and he represented Spain. Because I've been living for Spain for a while. Hey, why don't you play for us? Sure, why not? Argentina is way far away.
Yeah, it's a different continent. You should get one country per continent. How about that?
There you go.
You can go ahead and represent South Korea as your Asian country, and then you've got, you know, European country and maybe South America. You mm-hmm. can be part of Uruguay or
sure.
whichever one you decide.
I'm a country, you're a nation.
Oh, how about that? Mm-hmm. Keep it sophomore.
European girl. I'm a peeing guy.
Oh, that's
people
that's,
want
that's
our
something.
People keep staring in at
no, this is big time. It's Golazo Supremo here from the studios at radio.com here in downtown San Francisco.
I feel like this is the Today Show at Times Square where everyone's kind of
looking. Everyone's just looking through the window. Yeah, we have no exterior camera, though, with which
let
to show.
Your eyes adjust to the light. Now, find the Bush babies.
That's right. That's right. I did want to mention Chris Wondolowski
yeah.
and what is going on right now with
beating
Major League
Toronto,
Soccer.
Toronto, by the way.
Yes.
Omen.
Bay Area over Toronto. It's a yes. big little thing. Mm. Down 1-0. Wando strikes not once but twice. They win again. 6 goals for Chris Wondolowski in his last 2 fixtures.
I hate being negative.
Then don't.
But that second game, that second goal, there was not anyone around him for 10 yards. What kind of league can leave a guy unmarked standing in the 6-yard box like that?
The answer is the Europa League. We already talked about Arsenal and Chelsea. That was some Arsenal-esque defending by
okay.
Toronto
Fair
FC.
Enough. Fair enough.
Because, he was somewhat open. You know, and it's Toronto is in a situation where they're 8th in the East. The Quakes are 8th in the West. These are not two of the best sides in Major League Soccer. Yet, Chris Wondolowski, the talisman, no one works harder to get on the ball in the final third than he does. Mm-hmm. Just a classic Wando goal again.
Shout out the grad in Chico.
Yeah?
Yeah. Great.
Oh, because that's
where he went to school.
Yes.
Yes.
And you like the grad?
It's a great bar.
Your former stomping grounds?
Not really. But I've been there a few times. Back
that's
in the
strong.
Day. Back during Wildcat days. Or Pioneer days, sorry.
Yeah, Pee Week.
Yeah.
Pioneer Week. Absolutely. And much like Halloween at UC Santa Barbara.
I did one of those, yeah.
Yes, Pee Week, Pioneer Week up in Chico. I never got a Pee Week up in Chico, but I definitely got some Halloween.
You definitely peed.
At Santa Barbara. Every week was Pee Week. Speaking of pee, what's going to happen with your big pee? Your guy, Mauricio Pochettino, is he going to leave after this weekend's Champions League final? Will it be his own finale for the Spurs?
For Spurs, I don't think he's going to leave. But if they win the Champions League, they can dismantle the whole team and I won't care. Because I'll be set. I'm fine with that. But I don't think he's going to leave. They've got players that want to come there now. They've got a brand new stadium. They're in the Champions League for next year. Had they not qualified for next year's Champions League, I might be a little bit more worried about it. But we got a bigger fish to fry on Saturday before that one.
That's a big fish. It's maybe the biggest fish. Not having.
It's the biggest soccer game of my life. And I've been watching this forever. This is the biggest one, Dan.
So what are your plans then for this big game? It's a noon kick, right?
It's a noon kick. I told Danny not to schedule me. He scheduled me for 5, so I'll either be elated or a wreck.
Oh, so you are working.
I'll do a 4-hour shift. This is like every weekend, every day, 4-hour shifts.
So you're working 5 to 9 Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Tune in to see if there's tears or fears or shout, shout, let it all out.
Yes. Everybody wants to rule the world, and if they can't, they just want to win the Champions League.
Absolutely. With one earring.
no, it's right in my wheelhouse. That's high school for me. That's, head over heels.
That's college
all that
stuff. For me.
Yeah, yeah, big time.
I know. Old guy.
Big fan of the fears.
Should I get to the little, are we running out of time? Little arena story right now?
No, we got another 6 minutes or so. I did want to get
yes.
your thoughts on the U.S. Open Cup. We have story time coming up here in just moments. Most of the quote, little guys now have been set aside. They've been dispatched of the Charleston Battery of the USLC, the Memphis 901. Mm-hmm. North Carolina FC, Austin Bold FC.
What about the Scranton and Wilkes-Barre Salt Marsh Harvest Mouse Fighters?
I don't believe that they advanced. The Earthquakes right. will take on the Sacramento Republic of the USLC.
Is that a derby?
Yeah, I wonder if it is. It would be a an Interstate 80 derby, an I-80 derby.
NorCal derby?
Although more of a 680 derby, because 80 doesn't go all the way down to San Jose. 680 almost runs between the two.
A little backdoor action.
A little Cordelia derby
on the 680. There you go, a little Fairfield sneakage.
680 kind of stops short of Sacramento. Mm. 80 doesn't reach Santa Clara or San Jose, so we're kind of stuck here. Without a derby
name. This is why
name.
They call you Waze.
Yes, Waze Dibley. Tell me about you and Bruce Arena and where it all went wrong.
So this was at the Oakland Coliseum. The United States was playing China in a warm-up game. I've seen the Chinese three times now. They were playing China in a warm-up game before going to South Korea, Japan in 02. So this was in 01. And he had Tony Miola as the goalie. Tony Miola is a great guy. I have him on my show probably three times a year. But he was washed up. And so they had the regular goalies who didn't play. And then they had two young guys. A guy named, his last name was Jordan. I forget his first name. It was Kevin Jordan. And then they had a guy named Tim Howard, who everyone was talking about. So after the match, I go to the press conference. And Arena always has this very New York type of, you know, delivery like this. And I asked, which I thought was a pertinent question, I said, why did you play Tony Miola and not get a look at one of the younger guys? He steps out from the other side of the podium.
Step out.
He takes about two steps my way towards me, and he goes, let me ask you a question. Who do you think will be our two goalies at the World Cup? I said, Friedel and Keller. He goes, that's right. So what do you care if I play Tony Miola? And I said, well, I just thought you'd like to get a look at one of the young guys. And he went, pfft. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Over Tony Miola.
Yeah. Don't ask him about Tony Miola.
And who were the other goalkeepers on that team? Was it Friedel and Keller?
Friedel and Keller. And those were the guys. Yeah. We knew those were the main guys. But I thought, why? You're not even taking Miola to the World Cup. Why don't you look at. And one of them did become, excuse me, the goalie for the next 10 years, and Tim Howard. Wouldn't you want to look at one of the young guys instead of just throwing a bone to your buddy?
Right.
You do it today.
Yeah, give him another cap, which, you know, he had had more than enough.
He was a centurion. He was in Tony and Tita's wedding. He had already failed as a Jets kicker by then. And yet, you're not going to. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of weird, and I asked about it. And
it chapped your hide. And to this day.
Well, I just thought, you know, like if I said, how come you're so short and ugly? Then get mad at me.
Right.
I asked you a legitimate question. I didn't ask it like a D.
Right. Pertinent question.
Yeah.
And he could have just said, well, you know, Tony gave us the best chance to win.
Yeah.
It's a friendly or whatever.
Yeah, he could have said, what does it matter? He's not going anyway. And then just moved on. But no, he had to be a D.
Yeah.
To RT.
That's no good. NG trying to be a D to RT. It's Golazo Supremo here. Radio.com podcast. Rick Tittle. And Dan Dibley, a few odds and ends here before we wrap, including the FIFA Under 20 World Cup, which right now we've got action. As my man Matt Steinmetz likes to say, we got action! USA and Qatar, the aforementioned Qatarians, no score in the 56th minute in group play. What do you make of the U.S. Under 20 team, and do events like this move Rick's needle?
Yes. A little bit, because I know Tab Ramos is in charge of that setup, and I have a lot of faith in him. I do like the fact that Ernie Stewart is involved in that setup as well as Tab's boss. And they have gone outside the country club aspect of travel soccer teams, and they've actually tried to go into more urban areas and find some of the young talent out there. So I'm not going to pretend I'm an aficionado on these teenagers. But I have faith in those guys to select at least half a team of some real prospects.
USA sitting on 3 points in group. They need a result today against Qatar, and they also may need a little bit of help as they are sitting behind Ukraine. Ukraine, the group leaders, on 6 points. Nigeria also on 3, but one additional goal in the all-important goal differential.
I remember I was on the air a few years ago, and a guy called up, and he said, congratulations, Mexico won the World Cup today. And I went, no, they didn't. And it was like the under 20. And I got calls from about 50 people saying, it's still the World Cup. I go, no, it's not. It's a youth tournament. They go, we can say we won the World Cup. I go, you can say it all you want. Oh, I was just bickering over that.
Yeah, it is the World Cup, but it's a age World Cup.
Yeah.
So
when I won an event at the Richmond Olympics, I didn't think I was going to get a gold medal from the IOC.
What was your event?
My event was...
No sack race?
No. It was actually macrame.
Was it like an egg on a spoon relay?
It was probably something like that.
We've got Senegal leading Group A. Italy is your leader in Group B. Uruguay is the leader in Group C. It looks like the All Whites, my beloved New Zealand, the Kiwis, not the All Blacks, which is the rugby team, the All Whites. Mm-hmm. They're going to get through in the U20. Ukraine and Nigeria leading Group D, as I mentioned, USA needing help. And then France leads Group E. They conclude tomorrow. And then Argentina and South Korea ahead of Group F.
Every one of those teams that you mentioned has a good soccer setup outside of Qatar. So I give them a little credit for still being there.
Yes, and Qatar is sitting last in the group, yet to score a goal. They've allowed 5, so they are, I guess they're probably the host nation, I would assume. Although I probably could have looked that up before I got into this.
Well, they usually have this thing called before France in 98, they had the Tournoi de France. They had a warm-up tournament this summer before. So I would say in 2021, we'll probably get some sort of Qatari test to see how everything goes.
And it's going to be an absolute disaster. You can't help but think so. Not only because they're stopping down leagues across the globe, but just the very idea, of a fake cloud, because it's going to be so hot that you need shade and temporary stadia. I can't help but think something's going to happen that's going to cause this event to absolutely stop down and not be able to continue.
It'll be the first time in sports history you'll hear, ladies and gentlemen, please stop throwing things at the cloud.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.